Welcome back to the podcast. We're taking some time to look at the letter of 1 Timothy over the next few months. This letter reminds us what the church is meant to be, so I hope you find it helpful. First Timothy chapter 5, starting at verse 3. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and go about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. So we're back in 1 Timothy this evening. We've had a little break from it, but we're back this evening. We're back with Timothy, Paul's protege, who's being trained in how the church should run. And that training is important because it has an impact on the world out there. As the church functions, it puts on display God's plan for creation. And here, Paul is, in this section, outlining how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. Do you remember that? Because the household is, as Paul says, the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church is God's way of displaying his plan to the world. The effect that the gospel has of setting things the right way up again. And so Timothy has been trained in how that's going to work. And it's really important this evening that we understand that word, trained. You see, training, it's something that sets you up for life. Training isn't just something that you do once and you're finished with. It's a lifelong learning. It's teaching you how to think. There's meant to be constant progress. In fact, Paul's already told us that. Glance back up in your Bibles to chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. Paul says to Timothy, "Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." Training is meant to lead to progress. Progress that everyone can see. And so Paul is continuing Timothy's training with the passage we have here this evening. Now, this situation here is not one that might be a major issue in the Ephesian church, but it's an issue that's going to help Timothy and help us to think. It's a case study. So as we think about this topic this evening, it might be that it doesn't feel directly relevant to us. But if we really understand what Paul is doing with this passage this evening, it's going to help us in all sorts of situations. And the way that we're going to put this into practice, as with the whole of 1 Timothy, is going to help us display God's plan to the world out there. It's going to have an impact on our church internally and externally. So what is the issue? What is the case study we're looking at this evening? Well, we've seen it, haven't we? It's widows. Now, to understand this, we need to get our heads into first century AD culture. because that's going to help us apply this. What is a widow then in Timothy's day? Well, a widow in Timothy's day, much like our own, is a woman whose husband has died. There's not much difference there, is there? But to be a widow in Timothy's day is to have lost your primary means of support and protection. Just remember, there is no social security, there is no state help in these days. To lose your husband is a major, major deal. And that can be made worse if you were to have no children either. To be a widow without any children in the early centuries is to leave you completely helpless. Because if you did have children, you'd still have someone to look after you. So we need to keep that in mind as we read this evening. But secondly, we need to plug this into our Bibles. See, throughout the Bible, widowhood has been a situation that God cares deeply about. Israel's law, again and again, says things like this. Do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. All the more striking in Exodus, because that's the same thing said of the Israelites suffering under Pharaoh. God will hear their cry. God cares deeply about widows. And he knows how easy it is to take advantage of them. And that's something that hasn't changed today. Either part of that sentence. You see, I had a notification from Neighbourhood Watch earlier saying that even in 2022, Hemel Hempstead, criminals target widows more significantly than they do other groups. That hasn't changed. And God still deeply cares. That hasn't changed either. So Paul's case study here of how the church, how God's household treats widows, helps us think about all sorts of other situations too. It helps us to think about the question, how should God's household care for their family? So we want to make sure we see this in light of widows, but also to extrapolate, because that is what Paul's going to do in this passage. He wants us to take this to all areas of life. He wants to let this have an impact in the way that we, as a church family, care for each other. So how should God's household care for their family? Well, Paul's answer is right there in verse 3. And it's right there in verse 16. He tells us twice so we don't miss it. And the answer is, give them proper recognition. You see that in verse 3? Now that word translated proper recognition there is key for the rest of 1 Timothy. We're going to see it come up again and again. It's a word that means to honour, to treat with respect, to treat as if they were your own parent or grandparent. As one of your own. In fact, let me prove this to you. Paul's already told Timothy that in the verses before this. Have a look at verses 1 and 2. Timothy, as he pastors the church, should not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. See, the church is a family, and so it should live that way. So this passage is going to break into two bits, two parts that help us think about what it looks like to give proper recognition, what it looks like to care for church family. And so firstly, verses 3 to 8, godliness means caring for your own household. Have a look at verses 3 to 8 with me. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul's training strategy for godliness begins in the household. It begins by encouraging families to care for each other. So Paul instructs Timothy there in verse 3 to identify widows who are really in need. What does that look like? Well, he explains to us. Firstly, it's not someone who has children or grandchildren. Do you remember that? It's because children and grandchildren can care for them. Instead, Paul says, verse 4, children or grandchildren should put their religion into practice by caring for their own family. And do you see the result of them doing that? It pleases God. It pleases God. We've had that phrase all the way through this letter. What pleases God is when his plan is put into effect by being put on display. Just like creation pleased God. Genesis 1, everything was good. Aligning ourselves with God by being godly means caring for our family as God intended. Do you see the alternative though? Verse 8, this language is really strong. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse, get that? Worse than an unbeliever. Do you see how Paul's taken the widows and he's expanded it out? Godliness means caring for your own household. In fact, it's a necessary characteristic of being godly. It's part and parcel. It shows you whether you are in the faith or not. The second thing Timothy is to look for is where a widow puts her hope. Verse 5, a widow really in need and left all alone puts her hope and prays to God for help. Meanwhile, the widow who lives for pleasure is not in need. What does it mean to live for pleasure? Well, the wording here suggests someone who has used the resources they have wrongly. To put their hope in the here and the now. To blow money on this life. To live luxuriously. To effectively say, God doesn't exist. This is the best I'm going to get. I'm going to enjoy everything now. There's an obvious difference, isn't there, between those two? Well, Timothy, verse 7. He's meant to be helping the church think this through. Perhaps that's going to look like calling children and grandchildren to account. It's going to definitely involve thinking through who really needs help. You see, this is training. This isn't one size fits all. This is going to take wisdom. This is training. Godliness means caring for your own household. But secondly, godliness means caring for God's household. Verses 9 to 16. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she's over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and go about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If a woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. See, now that those areas have been addressed, Paul moves to address two different groups of widows. Older widows and younger widows. Verse 9, there's a distinction, do you see, between those over 60 and those under 60. Now, that's not a magic number. Nothing happens at the age of 60. But we'll see there are important things in play here. Mommy. So over 60, older widows. Let's think about them for a moment. Verses 9 and 10. Paul calls Timothy to look at the older widows and see their godliness. See those characteristics there? Faithful to her husband, known for good deeds, bringing up children, showing hospitality. It's important we don't see those as a tick list for things someone ought to have done. I mean, how many of you have washed someone's feet recently? No. Instead, these are characteristics, aren't they? They flow from godliness. These are things that true faith looks like. They're not exhaustive. They're not specifics, but they are simply living the life of a Christian woman. We saw it back in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 15. These things are the fruit of faith, love, holiness with self-control. In fact, this list here is very similar to the list for an overseer, for an elder that we saw earlier. Living God's way, displaying God's plan in their lives. They are truly members of God's household. So, Timothy, care for them. Then he turns to the younger widows, verses 11 to 15. How are God's household to care for them? How is the church to care for them? But Paul says the caring thing to do in this situation is to not put them on the list. That doesn't sound very loving, does it? Don't put them on the list. How is that loving? Well, the implication here is that being supported by church family might actually lead to them becoming ungodly. It appears that Paul is thinking that providing for them might allow more time to do other things. Perhaps this is something specific Paul's seen going on in Ephesus. Verse 11, it might give them time to form ungodly relationships. I mean, the power of relationship is a really strong pull, isn't it? And it appears that these widows here, they might be enticed to run after ungodly relationships, breaking their first pledge, that is, breaking their faith. Or verse 13, it might be that being supported, being cared for by the church, might mean they get into the habit, they learn to be idle and to go from house to house. It means they might be saying things they ought not to say. In fact, that's what the false teachers are doing in chapter 1. That's exactly what Titus is told. In Titus, the false teachers do. They go house to house speaking nonsense. In fact, both of these things might be connected to the false teachers. Verse 15, some of these younger widows, they've already turned to follow Satan. See, it might be, and this is a might, hands up, that the widows have married false teachers, or they've spent their idle time learning from them. That'd be disastrous. So instead of that disaster, Paul says, verse 14, younger widows should marry. Implication, marry a godly man, a Christian man, and therefore live their lives out as a godly, faithful Christian woman, doing those things that we saw before. Now, of course, this might all look totally different today, but I think these temptations we see here are still highly applicable. Sadly, I know many stories of women leaving the faith to chase ungodly relationships or being idle and just falling away. I'm sure you know stories of people who've done that too. And so Paul is training Timothy, and Timothy is to train the whole church, God's household, to care for one another, to meditate, to dwell on what is the best action for helping everybody, every member of the family, progress in their godliness. To help every member of the church family get to the finish line. See, this isn't a job just for Timothy. This is a job for the whole church to be involved in. All of God's household is to help all of God's household get to the end. This is something that every member of God's household is called to do. And so Paul reminds them once more, verse 16, if any woman, we've had any man earlier, if any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. So how should God's household care for their family? Well, their family, both at home and in the church, it's really important. See, the way that we care for one another pleases God. And it says something to the world out there when it is done right. It puts God's plan on display to the world. When I first came to this passage this week, I was tempted to skim over this because we have the government, don't we? We have the state who protects people and they provide for people nowadays. If you're stuck financially, there's lots of people who can help. In fact, financial hardship is relatively rare in this country, but it still exists. And even if financial stuff is covered, there are many, many other ways, aren't there, to support one another. There are many other needs out there, relational, emotional, spiritual, physical. There's lots of different things that we need help from each other with. See, we're a family, aren't we? We're a family here as this church. And as a family, Paul commands us here, Jesus, God wants us to help each other grow in our godliness. We should want to help each other make it to the finish line. We should want to please God in everything we do. And as the church is healthy internally, means we can focus on the world out there. So the big application, the big thing we're meant to do with this passage is simply to think more about it, to work through this case study. We should think and we should dwell on this general instruction that Paul has given, and then we should put it into practice on the ground. So how can we honour? How can we treat as family those around us? How can we love and care for the widows among us? Whether that's providing for and encouraging lifestyle changes for people. How can we provide for our relatives and show faith that leads to love? How can we encourage each other to be the church God wants us to be? Or more pointedly, when was the last time you spent time with church family outside of church? See, we're going to help each other get to the finish line. If we're going to help each other progress in godliness, we can't just do it on a Sunday morning. We can't just do it on a Sunday night. We can't just do it on a Wednesday night. We need to help each other all the time. See, every single one of us has a part to play in this. So I think it'd be a great thing to do now, to break into smaller groups and to think about how we can do that. What things can we do to help each other get to the finish line? Let's think about that. Let's discuss that for a few moments and let's pray that. And let's pray that as a church, we wouldn't just be those who think about stuff and don't actually do anything about it. So let's spend some time, shall we, thinking about this passage and then praying this passage.
Well, thank you for taking the time to listen. I hope it was helpful. Any comments or questions can be sent to the podcast email, podcast@david-couch.com. And I'll see you next week.